us tonight, please, if you will, and open, if you will, to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke in your Bible, Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15 in your Bible tonight, Luke's Gospel, and chapter number 15 in the Word of God tonight. We trust you'll turn there with us, with me, as I open up the Scripture tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15, please, in your Bible. And we're going to start reading verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after them which is lost, until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Either then moving down to verse number 9, if you will. "And when she had found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost." And then if you'll move down to verse number 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Speak to our hearts now. Open our hearts, Lord. Help us to listen to your word and to listen to what your Spirit would say to us through your word. And then not only listen to it, but respond to it. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd save that lost soul that's here tonight. And, Lord, that you would just do what needs to be done in the lives of Christians as well. And, Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Now, if you notice in those scriptures I read, four times you find a particular word. And that word is the word lost. Four times. The word lost. Now, lost is a scary word, isn't it? You know, it's scary to be lost. I don't know if you've ever been lost physically. You know, you got lost, couldn't find your way home. It's a scary word. It's a sad word. You know, if you lose something valuable, it's very sad to lose something that's valuable. You know what? It is also a very, very... Bible says not only scary and a sad word, but it is a very sorrowful word. To lose a loved one, to lose a son over in a war, you know, that's a sad word. To lose something that way, a lost son or a lost daughter. And we also see that it's a scriptural word. Right here in the Bible uses the word lost. In fact, Jesus used the word. You know, this is probably the most scary word that Jesus ever used. The word lost. You know, it is a very scary word. And Jesus uses it four times here in this passage of Scripture. And you know, I believe that he wants us to know four things. That's why he uses the word lost, and that's why we find it here in this passage of Scripture. So I want you to know the four things that Jesus wants you to know about the matter of being lost. This is getting to be a habit, brother. It happened last night too. Better late than never, amen? You know, I want you to see four reasons why Jesus wants you to know about this word lost, the spiritual meaning, the scriptural meaning of this word lost. First of all, he wants you to know this word lost because he wants you to know what the word lost is teaching. What does the word lost teach in this passage of Scripture? Jesus is using this word. Jesus never used words lightly. He never used words just to fill up the space on the page. He didn't use words like you and I, idle words, and words that, just had no substance to them. Jesus uses words, and he uses his word lost to teach us. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is telling a parable here in verse number 3. He spake this parable to them. Now, a parable is simply an earthly story to illustrate a heavenly truth. an earthly story to illustrate a heavenly truth. And so, what is the truth that Jesus is teaching us by using this word lost? Here's the truth He's teaching. Are you listening? He's teaching us the spiritual condition of all of us from the day of our birth. He's teaching us the spiritual condition of all of us from the day of our birth. We are lost. We're lost spiritually. That's our spiritual condition. Say, you came into the world lost. You didn't come into the world found or saved. No one is born saved. Everybody's born lost. You know, there are some who say, oh, I've always been a Christian. No, my friend, if you've always been a Christian, you're not a Christian. See, a Christian is someone who said, I'm lost and I need to get saved. And that's how you become a Christian, say. That's how you become a Christian. You don't become a Christian by coming to church. You don't become a Christian by reading your Bible. You don't become a Christian by putting money in the offering plate. You don't become a Christian by being baptized or going to confession or praying a certain amount of Hail Marys. You don't become a Christian that way. You become a Christian when you see that you're lost and you need to be saved. Have you ever been lost? Spiritually, seeing yourself lost and that you needed to be saved. One of the big problems of a tract that was given out by Varsity Press, InterVarsity Press, a number of years ago, is that it began by telling people about the love of God. Folks, you don't get people saved by telling them about the love of God. You get them saved by getting them lost. And then you tell them about the love of God. And they never mention about being lost. You can't get people saved without getting them lost. You got to get them lost. That's the hardest thing in the world, to getting people saved. Amen. You know, get them lost. You know, if you don't get them lost, they'll never get saved. That's why a lot of people run around this country and say they're saved. They live like the devil because they never got lost. You know, and so we need to get people lost. And then they are candidates for getting saved. Are you lost? You're a candidate for getting saved. If you're not lost, then you will never be saved and you'll never become a Christian. You got to get lost in order to be a Christian. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep. All we like sheep. Little boy was asked the question, what's all mean? Little boy said, all means all. That's all that all means. It just means all. Pretty good definition of the word all, isn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone astray. We're sheep lost. When sheep go astray, they're lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And so the Bible makes it very plain that our spiritual condition from the day we're born in this world is that we're born lost. Now, what does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? Let's look at that just briefly here tonight. I want you to know, first of all, what it doesn't mean to be lost, all right? What it doesn't mean to be lost. It doesn't mean that you're incapable of doing any human good. Doesn't mean that at all. You can do good things. You can do good things to be lost. You know, you can help ladies across the street, you know, with their groceries. And, you know, you can put money in the Salvation Army or some organization that's giving food out. You can do good things like that. But that doesn't mean that you're not lost. See, a lost person is not a person who is incapable of doing any human good. No, in fact, lost people do good. Not all lost people are just big, bad, wicked, horrible sinners. All they do is lie and cuss and steal and beat up on people and rape and all that kind of stuff. That's not what lost people do. Most people think that's lost people, man. You know, why don't you go down there and talk to those people down there on the Skid Row down in New York instead of coming to my house, my beautiful house, and telling me I'm lost? They don't think they're lost, see? And I'll tell you something, my friend. They can do good things, but that doesn't mean that you're not someone who is a lost, see? So a lost person isn't someone who is incapable of doing human good. A lost person isn't someone, on the other hand, that just goes out and does a bunch of whole wicked, God, ungodly sins. I mean, just cuss, swear. That doesn't mean that you're, a lost person because you go out and do a lot of wicked things. See, it doesn't mean at all. In fact, Nicodemus, most religious man, probably more religious than any of us in this building. I mean, he wore scriptures on his forehead. I don't see too many people reading the scripture or wearing the scriptures on the forehead. You know what? He washed his hands a certain way a certain amount of times every day. He was a very religious man. Wore long garments and he was very religious. But Jesus said to him, except you be born again, Nicodemus, you're not going to enter the kingdom of God, let alone, you're not going to see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. You're not going to see it, let alone enter it. Nicodemus, you got to be born again. What's he saying to him? Nicodemus, you're lost. All your good morality, all the things that you, I mean, you're not a wicked, horrible bachelor. I mean, Nicodemus was meant to remember the Sanhedrin, and to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to be above any moral reproach. Not any moral reproach that anybody could point a finger to you about. You had to be above that. And Nicodemus was above moral reproach. And yet Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Why? Because, folks, you don't have to be a big, horrible, wicked sinner just going out there just living in immorality and, you know, same-sex marriage and all this kind of stuff. You don't have to be that to be a lost sinner. All right? Thirdly, what it doesn't mean, it doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that you did something to be lost. It doesn't mean that you did something, there was something you did, you know, from the time you were born, there was something you did that made you lost. It doesn't mean that at all. In fact, you know what? You were born that way. You didn't have to do anything to be lost. I didn't have to do anything to be lost. I was born lost. Say, that's the way you were born. That's the way I'm born. In Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says, the heart is desperately wicked. Above all things, who can know it? Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lust, covetousness. All those things come from the heart. When did you get your heart? You got your heart the day you were born. And dear friend, God said that heart was beating in that little baby, that heart that was beating in your body when you were little, that heart was wicked. And that heart had every one of the sins of lust and sin and in it. It had it all there. And you know, you didn't even have to go out there and do it because it was in your heart all the time. Since the day you were born, it's in your heart. You didn't have to even go out and do it. It was in your heart. It's already there. God looks at the heart. Amen. He didn't look what you did. He looks at the heart. And when God looks at the heart, He sees us wicked, desperately wicked. Why do people do what they do? You ever read the newspaper? I've been reading your newspaper around here, man. I tell you what, blows my mind. What goes on in this area? I mean, the wickedness. I mean, how could people? I mean, what's about time those people were little babies came in there, you know, in this world? And you say, preacher, it was their bad environment. Oh, my friend, that's not true. Dear friend, it's because of their heart. That baby was born with a wicked heart. And you know what? My kids, I got four of them, they were born with a wicked heart. Where'd they get it?
From their mother.
No, they didn't get it from their mother. I tell you something, God, from me, amen? Bible says, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin in the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, dear friend, the Bible says you didn't do anything to be lost. You were born that way. You had a heart that was lost. The moment you came to this world, that heart was lost and wicked and undone and desperately wicked. And God also says in Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. David says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The very moment of your conception, you were born in sin. You didn't go out and do anything. As a little baby, you couldn't go out and do anything. I mean, you can't walk. You were born, the moment you were born, in sin. Not that your birth was a sin if it was man and wife and within the bonds of marriage. No, that's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is that you were born a sinner. You were born lost. You didn't have to do anything to be a sinner. You were born a sinner. Sorry. You were born a sinner. That's being lost. Have you ever seen yourself that way? Me being born a sinner? Oh, not me, Brother Gilmore. Then you can never be saved from being lost. You're lost, see? See, the word lost means you didn't do anything to be lost. That's the way you were born. In Psalm 58:3, the wicked go astray as soon as they're born. Watch it. The wicked go astray as soon as they're born. When are we wicked? As soon as we get born. God said that. Now you can call God a liar if you want to. But God said, you were wicked the day you were born. And as soon as we are born, we go astray. Watch it, speaking lies. By the way, isn't that amazing? Wickedness and lying go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Are you lying? You know, we live in a world full of lying. I believe every politician in office is probably there because they are good liars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good liars. I'm absolutely convinced that if you believe the truth and you tell the truth, you probably won't be a lawyer. If you believe the truth and want to tell the truth, you probably won't be a politician either. Yeah. And if you get to the place, if you believe the truth, you're just not going to. You're just not going to be in any position of a prime position. Because you got to be good at lying. You got to be really good at lying. And dear friend, lying is a sin that puts people in hell. You know, liars are going to be in hell. If you perpetually lie, you're going to be in hell. You just lie. You know, dear mom and dad, you're going to be in hell forever. You tell lies. You know, your mom and dad. You're going to be in hell for all eternity. Lying. See, when does a baby start lying? The soon as they be born, the Bible says. You say, well, a preacher, I just question that. You know, how could a baby lie when he's born? How could that ever happen? Well, let me give you a scenario. This could be the way it could happen, that a baby would lie. Here's a little baby. He wakes up happy, you know, and he's hungry. So what does a baby do? What does he do when he's hungry, you know? Well, he can't say, hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Hey, Mom. Bring in the milk, I'm hungry. Baby can't do that, right? So what can a baby do? Why is it crying? It's not because they're hurting, it's because they're hungry. And they want mom to know that. And so mom comes in and she gives some milk to that little baby. And then this baby wakes up some other time down the road and he's calling. He's not hungry this time and he's calling. How many of you ever had a colic baby? You know, we were blessed with a colic baby, my wife and I. I don't know what my wife was eating before that boy was born, but boy, he just had a case of being colic, you know? But he would cry. And so here's this little baby wakes up, he's colic, and he's crying. He's not crying because he's hungry, he's crying because he's colic. You know, he didn't want some relief. And so mom comes in and you know, comforts the little boy, and he stops his crying. Now, this time down the road, that baby wakes up, he's not hungry, he's not colic, his temperature's fine. He knows mother's out there, however. And he knows that when he cried because he's hungry, mom came. And when he cried because he's cold, mom came. And now he's just lonely in that crib. And he wants a little fellowship. And so what's he do? The only thing he knows to do is cry. And you know what? Mother hears him crying. And she comes in there, picks him up, he starts giggling. Maybe that's the way that a baby, as soon as he's born, speaks lies. But folks, I don't know. You know, maybe that's not the way. But I think that's a good way that it possibly could happen. But I know one thing. I believe the Bible. The Bible says as soon as a baby's born, they start speaking lies. Yes. And friend, that's what it means to be lost. It means that you don't have to do anything to be lost. You were born. I didn't have to teach my kids a lie. It just came. How many of you parents taught your kids a lie? Some of you teach your kids a lie because that's what you do. And they're picking up from you. You know? But I don't think you didn't teach your baby to lie. See, it just came natural, didn't it? I didn't have to teach my kids to say no. You know? I'll tell you what. Why is that? Because we're born lost. That's why. Why are kids rebellious? They're born lost. That's why. They're lost. And you and I, why is it easy to sin? Why is it so easy to do wrong? Why is it so easy to go along with our friends and not stand for what's right? Because we're lost. Why is it easy to stay home from church? We're lost. Why is it easy to find every excuse in the world not to read our Bible? Because we're lost. See? Oh, folks, listen. That's what it means to be lost. Now, what does it mean to be lost? We say what it doesn't mean. What does it mean to be lost? It means you can't find your way. You can't find your way to stay out of hell. You can't find your way to get out of the condition of being lost. You can't find your way to get you unlost. Say, can't find. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. Say, I mean, how many have ever lost something? You know, like some keys? Man, I tell you what, we lost some keys, my wife and I. And it's amazing because, you know, we thought our little granddaughter took them. You know, we had to blame somebody, amen? And so we were playing with little granddaughter, and she can't even talk. She couldn't even fight back. No, I didn't do it. We blamed our little granddaughter. And you know, those keys were gone for about, almost a year now. But just recently, we found those keys. And you know what? Where they were? They were my wife's summer sandals. So it's my wife's fault. I had to go apologize to my little granddaughter. Please forgive me. If you can say that, I think I meant, I forgive you, Grandpa. But you know what? Those keys didn't find themselves. My wife found them. See, lost things can't find themselves. And what God is saying is, you can't find yourself, and get out of your lost condition. It's nothing you can do by your intellect, by your, actions. There's nothing you can do to get you out of the condition of being lost. Secondly, it means this, that you have sinned. Because you're lost. That's what lost people do. Lost people sin. That's a natural thing lost people do. You know, when I read about all the sin going on around here, you know what? I'm not surprised. Why? Because all the people around here, when they're born in this world, they're lost. And lost people sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, there is not a just man upon the earth that sinneth not and doeth good. What God say? There's not a just man or woman, boy or girl, that sinneth not and doeth good. You see, we all say, you say, not me, preacher. Are you talking about me? Me? Yes, I'm talking about you. Let me prove it to you. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes right now. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to come around there and get your wallet or anything like that. We're not going to steal anything from you. You know, we're going to do it. I just want you to see something. All right? As you're bowing eyes closed, let me ask you a couple questions. How many of you have never told a lie in your entire life? You've never told one lie, not even a little white one. No, okay? You've never told a lie in your entire life. If you can say that you've never done that honestly, truthfully, with your mom and your dad sitting right there, or your husband or wife sitting right there, would you raise your hand? Never, never, ever told a lie in my entire life. Not one little, even little, eensy-weensy little one. Okay? Here's another question. How many have never said something about somebody that you didn't find out first if it was true? Raise your hand. I've never said something about somebody, but at first I found out if it was true before I got on the phone and tail-bared it all over the place. Raise your hand if you've never done that. All right? Here's another question. How many have never stolen anything? Not even a cookie from your mother's cookie jar, okay? How many have never stolen one thing in your entire life? Raise your hand. Let's hear it. Okay? Here's another question. How many of you have never thought an evil thought about someone, about something? You've never had a lustful thought. You've never had a covetous thought. You've never thought an evil thought of hatred towards someone. You've never thought an evil thought about anybody. Let's see your hand. Would you raise your hand? All right, here's another thing. How many would say this? Preacher, I have never lost my temper. I've never gotten mad, ever. I've never gotten angry with anybody in my entire life. If you can say that, I'm going to lift your hand high and hold it. Okay? You can look right up here tonight. Look right up here. Pastor, we got a room full of people that deserve to go to hell. You know why I say that? You've broken 5 of God's commandments. You've broken 5 of God's commandments. Now listen, let's do this. Let's say there was somebody here that could raise their hand on one of these things and say, let's say there was someone said, I've never stolen ever in my entire life. I've never stolen time from God. I've never stolen money from God. I've never stolen love from God and given it to idols. I've never stolen one thing from God. They could say that honestly. I've never stolen. They could raise their hand on one of these 5 things. They could raise their hand on one of these 5 things. But you know what? The other 4, they couldn't. Do you know that they'd be just as lost as all of us in this building who couldn't raise our hand on any of these things? You say, preacher, just as lost? Yes. How do I know that? James 1:10. He that keeps, whosoever breaks the law of God in one point, he's as guilty as though he what? Broke all the law of God. Just breaking it in one point makes you guilty of breaking all the law of God. Thank you. In Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 10, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed, watch this, is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. You see, my friend, just not doing God's law in one area puts the curse of God upon your soul. You have the wrath and condemnation of God Almighty upon your soul. And because of that, you're lost. Oh, dear friend, that's what it means to be lost. The last thing I want you to know about what it means to be lost, it means this. It means that you are in a spiritual destitute condition. You are spiritually destitute if you're lost. Why? Because of what you're without. Let me show you some things you're without if you are lost this evening. And every one of us, when we came to the world, we were lost, all right? So, first of all, you're without any peace. You have no solution for your sins. You have no forgiveness for your sins. And so you're without God's peace. You're living under the heavy weight and burden of your sin that's just weighting you down. And you're spiritually destitute tonight because you don't have any peace and your sins are all gone. All the past, present, future. You have a fearful judgment day coming because you're going to face God Almighty with all those sins on you, drenched in your sins. You're spiritually destitute because you're lost. Secondly, you are without strength. You have no strength to say yes to God and obey His Word. You have no strength to get baptized after you get saved. You don't have the strength to go out and witness. You don't have no strength to live a holy life. You have no strength to read your Bible every day. You have no strength to pray. You have no strength to do what's right. Why? You don't have the power of God. You are weak. The Bible says in the flesh we are weak. We don't have any strength. For when we're without strength, Christ died for us. We're without any strength. We have no strength to say no to sin. No strength to say no to alcohol and booze and immorality and lust. No strength to say no to the pornography literature magazine. No strength to say no to internet wickedness. You have no strength. That's what you are when you're lost. You have no strength. Spiritually destitute. And not only that, you're without life. The Bible says you're dead in trespass and sin. You're without spiritual life. You're without eternal life. You're without abundant life. And also, you're without the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit of God living to witness to you that if you're to die tonight, you go right to heaven. You live in this no man's land. You live in this area. Well, I don't know for sure what's going to happen to me when I die. I hope I'm going to heaven, but I'm not really sure. You see, when you're lost, you don't have the Holy Spirit says, hey, everything's okay. You're going to heaven when you die. You are that inner witness of the Spirit of God that gives you the witness that you're saved, that you're going to heaven. And that you're sure of it. See, people that are lost are always, when you ask them, do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? People who are lost always say, well, I hope so. That's what I used to say. I hope so. That's lost. That's a lost response to that question. You know, when you're saved from being lost, your response is, praise God, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. It's not being presumptuous. It's not being proud. No, because, it doesn't have anything to do with us. Has everything to do with being saved. Saved. And so you're without witness, Holy Spirit. You're without God as your Father. You see, without God as your Father, there's only one other Father you can have, and that's the devil. John 8:44, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth. See, when you're lost, you belong to the devil. You're in his family. You're not in God's family. God's not your father spiritually. He's your father creationally, but he's not your father spiritually. You are in the devil's family. And you know where the devil's going, don't you?
Yeah.
Hell. And misery loves company. And he wants to take you there with him.
Yeah.
He wants to take you to hell. And you stay in his family. You're his property. And when you die, that's exactly where you're going to go. Remember that rich man? The Bible says he died in Luke 16. And he was taken by a battalion of angels right into the hellfire. But Lazarus, he died and he was saved. He was taken right to heaven. Oh, dear friend, what's going to be for you when you die? It's either one or the other. Either battalion of angels are going to take you right to heaven, or the devil's angels are going to take you and kicking and screaming and fighting all the way there and saying, oh, I did this, I did that. And the devil doesn't care what you did because you got to get saved from being lost. For the devil not to have you. You see, you're without the Father. You're without God, your Father. Without understanding, the Bible doesn't make sense to you. It's a bunch of hieroglyphics to you. You can't understand. My mother had a lot of trouble growing, raising us three boys all by herself. And you know, she went through some hard times. And there were many times of great burden in her life. And she said one time, she went to the Bible, trying to get something out of it, trying to get some help out of it, get some comfort out of it. And that's a wonderful place to go if you want some comfort, by the way. But she went to that Bible. And you know what? It didn't make any sense to her. She couldn't understand. And she threw it on the floor. She said, "Gary, I'll never pick up that book again." Why? My mother was lost. She couldn't understand the Bible. She didn't have spiritual eyes. It was Greek to her. The Bible says, "A natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritual discernment." Oh, dear friend, you're without being able to understand this most wonderful book of life and truth. Oh, it's full of truth. It's full of things that are such a blessing to read about. But because you're lost, you don't have any desire to read it. You'd rather read the newspaper, the New York newspaper! Filled with filth and garbage and must and you name it all! You'd rather read that stuff than to be in the Holy Word of God. Why? Because you're lost. You're lost. Dear friend, you're without something else. You're without a remedy for being on the path to hell. You see, the wages of sin is death. See, when you break God's law, you're going to pay for your sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's eternal hell. You're on your way to hell, only a heartbeat keeping you from hell because you're lost. Lost people go to hell when they die. That's the end of a lost person. That's where they're going to be for all eternity. And they're not going to cease to be down there. They're going to be in that fire for all eternity. I think if we can pull back the curtain of heaven tonight, if somehow we can hear the conversations going on in hell, by the way, there will be conversation in hell. And if we can hear that conversation, I believe all my heart, one of the words that we be hearing people scream out the top of their lungs, "I'm lost! I'm lost! I'm lost! Forever and ever they're lost!" Dear friend, you are in a destitute place spiritually when you are lost. You are spiritually destitute. Now, I want you to know the second thing, why Jesus gives these four words about lost. He wants you to know, number one, what the word lost is teaching. It's teaching our condition when we're born in this world. We're born lost. All right, the second thing, he wants you to know, the reason why he used these four words is because he wants you to know what can happen to the lost. Now, up to this point, folks, it's been pretty dark so far. Amen? I mean, it's been pretty, not a real happy situation. What we've said so far is not very bright and not very shiny and not very attractive. I don't know about you, but I love sunshine, blue sky days. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you what I like when that sun I can take below zero weather as long as that sun's out and got blue sky. In fact, that's my favorite kind of weather. I like cold weather. You know, I'll tell you what, when that sunshine is blaring and that blue sky's out there, man, I'll tell you something. It just makes my day. How about you? But folks, I want to tell you something. So far, we haven't been able to talk to you about much sunshine, blue sky, about the matter of our condition spiritually being lost. It is pretty dark and bleak, but I got some good news for you. Are you ready for the good news?
Amen.
This is a book full of good news.
Amen.
You know what good news is? Lost people can be saved. Lost people can be found from being lost. Lost people. That's the message of the Bible.
Amen.
Jesus wants you to know that you can be saved from being lost. You don't have to stay in your lost condition. You can be saved from being lost. That's what he wants you to know. Now, why is that so? You know, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, there is none excuse. Nobody's going to stand before God and have an excuse for not getting saved from being lost. Nobody. You're not going to stand there and say, "Well, Lord, here's the reason why I didn't get saved from being lost." Nobody has an excuse for being lost and staying lost and dying lost. Nobody. Why? Number one, because of the fact that you have a conscience. And that conscience is a gift of God. And that conscience tells you that what I'm preaching is right. That conscience tells you that you have done wrong, you have sinned. And you know what? Your conscience tells you that you're lost. You know, I'm so glad when I preach, I don't preach by myself. I'm so glad when I preach, number one, the Holy Spirit's here. And then number two, I'm so glad when I preach, I got your conscience on my side. And your conscience is your friend. God gave you a conscience to alert you that you have a need. You are a sinner and you sin against God and you're lost. See, the second reason no one's going to stand before God and give an excuse as to why they didn't get saved from being lost is because of the fact that you have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's come in the world to convict us of our need of being saved from being lost. To convict us that we have sin. To convict us that what the preacher is preaching from the Bible and what the Bible says is really true. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Listen, apart from the Holy Spirit, no one ever gets saved from being lost. Why? Because there's a real devil out there and his number one job is to blind people to the glorious gospel. He wants to blind you. Oh, I'm not that bad. That's the devil. Oh, I can find my own way to get out of my lost condition. You know, that's the devil. Oh, that Satan is so active in trying to blind people. But oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know what? I never got saved from loss. It was but the blessed Holy Spirit that one day took away that blindfold. And I saw my true condition. I saw myself as a lost sinner on my way to hell. And he showed me what Jesus did. The second reason, the third reason why there's no excuse for being lost tonight and staying lost. If you're lost tonight, there's no excuse for you staying that way. Because we have the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is God's Word to you to tell you how you can get saved from being lost. God's Word tells you how. And it's not by baptism. It's not living a good life. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, the Bible says. But according to His mercy, He saved us. It's not by your turning over a new leaf. It's not by your going to church. It's not that way. The Bible tells us the way to be saved from being lost is to come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm a lost sinner. Jesus, You died for lost sinners to save them. Lord Jesus, I want to be saved from being lost. Would You save me from being lost? See, oh, there's no excuse for being lost, my friend. You walk out of this building lost and you die lost, you're going to stand before God and say, God, here's my reason why I didn't get saved from being lost. I didn't have a conscience. Yes, you did. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. I didn't have the Word of God. Yes, you got the Word of God. You see, and thirdly, fourthly, the reason why there's no excuse for anybody being lost is because Jesus came from heaven and He went to a rugged cross, and on that cross at Calvary, He took your sin and my sin, the sin of everybody in this world, and He paid the price for sin, and He was buried. But He didn't stay in that grave. He came forth from the grave. He's in the Father's right hand, and whosoever shall come call on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be what? Saved from being what? Lost. Whosoever shall call. That means anybody. Amen?
Amen.
You can call. No matter how many sins you commit in your life. Jesus' blood is powerful. Jesus' blood can wash away all those sins. Not only all the sins of the past, but the sins of the present and the sins you haven't committed in the future. That's how Jesus has the power to save people. He can take care of sins you haven't committed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you what, there's some churches teach, oh, you gotta get your sins taken care of in the past, but you know what? You gotta keep going to Mass, you gotta keep doing this and confess. Otherwise you're gonna go to purgatory and pay, have those sins paid for it. My friend, there's nothing in the Bible about that. Absolutely nothing. You see, my friend, when you get your sins paid for, you get them all paid for. When you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, my friend, He takes care of all the sins of the past, all the sins of the present, and even the sins you haven't committed in the future. And all God's people said,
amen.
I wonder what it is to be saved from being lost. And the Bible says in Luke 19:10, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus Christ come? Not to be a good example. Not to be a moral person that shows how good He is. Jesus Christ came for one reason. Save the lost. And how did He do that? What a price He paid. Every drop of His blood was shed at Calvary to pay for your being able to be saved from being lost. He pays the price. He's the one that can save you from being lost. You can't do it for yourself. No church can do it. So my church! Hey, friend. If a church can save your lost, Jesus unnecessarily had to die on that cross. I mean, if a church can save your being lost, just going to church, going through all the religious rituals, Jesus would never die and go to that cross. He would never. I mean, I've got four kids. I wouldn't let one of my boys be beaten up like Jesus beaten up. God the Father could have come and rescued. rescue Jesus. But God the Father turned his back and he wouldn't even go to the rescue his son. Why? Because there is no other way that sin can be taken care of. There is no other way that you can be saved from being lost and I can be saved from being lost. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh dear friend, how can you be saved from being lost? You know what? It takes one thing. Two things, right? It takes two things. Number one, you got to acknowledge you're lost. You got to say, Lord, I'm a lost sinner. I can't save myself. I'm lost. I'm wicked. I'm ungodly. I'm ungodly. That's what means to be lost. Remember, the Bible says, the wicked go astray as soon as we go by. What did God say? You're wicked. God says you got a wicked heart. That's really wicked. You got a heart that's wicked. You're lost. And you know what? You need a new heart. And that's what happened. You get saved, get a new heart. And you know what? You got to say I'm lost. Has there ever been that? One time I was preaching at camp and a teenage boy went forward to the camp and the boy was the pastor's son and I thought, well, you know, the pastor's son, he's going forward to maybe get some sin in his life, you know? Pastor's sons, children can sin too, you know? And I thought, well, he's coming. Maybe he's going forward to surrender his life to full-time service. I didn't know. But I know one thing, when people go forward, I often, especially them people, I go up and say, hey, what decision you made? I'd like to rejoice with you about it. We ought to do that, folks. People go forward. We ought to go up and encourage and say, you know, I'm so glad you made a decision. And, you know, what decision you made? And rejoice with them. And encourage them. Say, I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying that God will give you victory over that. I'll be praying for you. And so I went forward. I went to, and I said, son, I said, man, I'm really glad to see you. Well, why don't you go forward tonight? And he blew me away. He said, I got saved. Get saved. Here he was, preacher's son. Here he was, said he was saved for years. I said, you got to say, well, how'd that come about? He said, preacher, tonight, for the first time in my life, I saw myself as a lost sinner needing to be saved. And dear friend, until you have a day and a time and a place in your life where you see yourself as a lost sinner, you're as lost as that wall, you're going to split hell wide open. I don't care how many times you go to church, how many times you read your Bible, I don't care how many prayers you utter, until there's a time and a place in your life where you all of a sudden realize you're a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, and you need to be saved, you'll never be saved. See, to get saved from being lost, number one, you got to acknowledge you're lost. And then number two, by the way, that's the hardest thing right there. If you will acknowledge you're lost, you're pretty well going to be able to do this. And that is the next thing you got to do to be saved from the lost, desire to come to Christ. Desire to come to Christ, no matter what your friend's going to do, I'm coming to Christ. No matter what someone's going to think, your husband's going to think, no matter what your friends are going to say, your mom, your dad, I'm coming to Christ. Desire to come to Christ. You know what? A lot of people, they know they're lost and they know Christ died for them. They know that, if they come to Him, He's saved. He'll save them. But you know what? They never come to Christ. You know why? They never make that decision, that desire is never fulfilled in their life to come to Christ. You know why? Because of their friends. I had two brothers sitting beside me the night I got saved. Two of my brothers sit right either side. Man, I knew I was lost. Oh boy. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a heartbeat compeller. And I just said, I didn't want to go to hell. And I knew Jesus Christ died for me the first time in my life. I realized He died for me. You know, up to that point, I believed He died for the world, but that didn't change my life at all. Believing that doesn't change your life. And that night, I believe He died for me. And I said, He died for my sins. It was my sins in Him there. And you know, that night I realized He could save me from my sins. And you know what? I desired to come to Christ. But you know what? What was holding me back, almost held me back, almost kept me from going, was my brother sitting right there. And I tell you something, folks, I thank God that I didn't say, I don't want to make my brothers feel uncomfortable, and I don't know what they'll say about it. I said, I don't care what my brothers say. I don't want to be lost anymore. I want to be saved from being lost. Yeah. And I said, I went down that house, a 16-year-old teenage boy, and I called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And you know what? He did it. And anybody comes to him, he'll do it. He's never going to turn somebody away. All that come to me, I will know why it's cast out. Don't you worry that he's going to turn you aside and say, you know, I don't like your name. I don't like your, how much you weigh. I don't like how tall you are. I don't like that you never graduated from high school. I don't like all the sins you commit in your life. And so I'm turning away. He'll never turn anybody away who comes to him.
Amen.
He won't turn you away tonight if you'll come to him and ask him to save you. He will save you.
Amen.
Now I want you to know one more thing. I want you to know what happens to people, you know, when they get saved from being lost. What happens when you get saved from being lost? I want you to see what happens. You know what happens? The Bible says there's two things. There's great joy and there's great rejoicing. As you look here in this passage of Scripture, you will find, first of all, there's great joy in heaven. Look at verse 7 of Luke 15. The Bible says, I say to you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner, just one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 10. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. So what's the Bible say? The Bible says there's joy in heaven. If you come and get saved from being lost, all of heaven is going to be joyful. Maybe there'll be a grandmother up there. I don't know if they send out newspapers every day in heaven. I hope they do because I like to read the newspaper. But boy, maybe that heavenly newspaper comes out tomorrow morning because you got saved from being lost tonight. And you know your grandma picks up that newspaper to see who got saved last night. Oh, look at that, my grandson. Oh, look at that, my granddaughter. Got saved. Great joy. Oh, the Bible says there's a cloud of witnesses that looks on. And I tell you what, those cloud witnesses are looking on this service tonight. And oh, they want to. Would you make their day? Would you make that cloud of witnesses day tonight? And come and get saved from being lost. I'll tell you what, those cloud witnesses would just go bonkers. They would just rejoice. And there'll be joy in heaven. And folks, it would just go on for all eternity. There'll be joy in heaven just over one person coming and getting saved from being lost. There's all kinds of joy up in heaven. They're just rejoicing. Why don't we do it?
Amen.
Because we're so backslidden, that's why. We're so backslidden as Christians. We don't rejoice over someone getting saved. And we don't come up and just kind of fall over and say, you know, I'm so glad you got saved, man. I just rejoice with you. No, as soon as the service is over, instead of us going up and rejoicing with it, we're out the back door and in the car and going home to our TVs. Backslidden Christianity, we got so much of it. So much of it. We can be joyful over a horse, or joyful over a sporting event, or joyful over, you know, some game, or our favorite team wins a game, and someone gets saved, oh me. So, it's not the way heaven finds it. It's not the way heaven reacts, folks. There is joy in the presence of the angels. That's God Almighty. I think he probably takes his shoes off, starts running around the throne a little bit, amen. I don't know. There's joy in his presence. Jesus is filled with joy. What was it that caused Jesus to go to the cross? The joy that was set before him. Why was Jesus... He knew all that ahead of time. Jesus knew all ahead of time he's going to have those nails. Jesus knew it ahead of time. It wasn't something that was just all of a sudden dumped on him and he was unaware. He knew it all ahead of time. What caused him to be able to willing to go through all that? The joy that was set before him of you getting saved. Coming to Him and receiving Him as your Savior. Would you make Jesus His day today? Would you make Jesus His day and come to Him and receive Him as your Savior? Will there be any joy in heaven over you? There won't be unless you get saved from being lost. There are not going to be any joy in heaven over you. But when you come and get saved from being lost, there's joy. But not only that, the Bible says there's great rejoicing on earth. There's rejoicing in the heart and life of the person that gets saved from being lost. Look at verse number 5 of Luke 15. And when he had found it, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That's a human being. That person is rejoicing. See, and the Bible says in verse 6, and when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which is lost. Look at verse 9. The Bible says that when she had found it, she called her friends, her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. And look at verse 23 and 24. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and it began to be merry. There was great joy in the lives of people's hearts because people got saved from being lost. You know, my wife and I, one of our favorite things to do is we love to go to bed and breakfast. How many know what a bed and breakfast is? You know what a bed and breakfast is? We do that a couple times a year, maybe sometimes three times if we can afford it. And you know, we'll go and stay a night, and sometimes we get a special coupon that we can stay two nights and only pay one and get a night free. That's great. And so we go these. And one time we were in Wichita, Kansas, or in Kansas somewhere, and it was our anniversary, and we were at this B&B, and I love to go to B&Bs. A number of reasons why I love to go. Number one, I love to go because I love breakfast. And if you love breakfast, you love B&Bs. Nice breakfast. Ooh, delicious, you know. And then, I love to go to B&Bs because, you know what? Secondly, because I live in a trailer. You know, in 39 years, we've been pulled the trailer. And you know, even when I was raised, I was raised in a trailer. And when I had to take a shower when I was raised, I had to walk a block to the shower house. You know? And our trailer, I have four kids, and it's just my wife and I. And in our trailers, you know, travel trailers only have a 10-gallon hot water tank. And you know, when you have four kids getting in the shower, I mean, tell you don't have much time to linger in the shower. Before that, water begins to get cold. And why I like to go to B&B's, because, man, I could just go in that shower and stand there all day with that hot water and just enjoy all that hot water. Man, I'm paying for it. I'm going to take all I can get. And just stand underneath that shower and enjoy that hot water, you know. Man, that's why I love B&B's. But you know, another reason why I love going to B&B's, get to witness to people. I mean, here's these couples that come in, you know, and they're a captive audience. I mean, they paid to have this breakfast. And we're sitting across the table, you know. We're enjoying this wonderful breakfast. And you know how the thing goes, the conversation. Oh, what's your name? My name's Gary Gilmore. Where are you from? I'm from South Indiana. Where are you from? Okay, you're from there. Okay. And then eventually gets around, what do you do? They ask, what do? And you know what I say? Well, I'm a preacher. And I go around the country telling people how they can know for sure that when they die, they're going to heaven, not hell. Do you know that? It's a captive audience. They can't walk out of there. They're going to throw me out. I paid. Hey, the boss, they can't throw me out. I paid. They got to feed me. They're not going to leave because they paid. It's a captive audience. Wonderful opportunity to witness and give the gospel out. One time we were talking to this one couple, and the lady, you know, after she heard that I was a preacher, and I go around telling people how they could know for sure they're going to heaven, not hell, she looked at and she said, oh, can you know that? I said, yeah, it's right in the Bible. It is! She said, you know, boy, I'd like to see that. Would you like my wife to take you and show you how you can know? And so she said, yes, I would. And so my wife took her up these stairs, you know, and some beautiful little stairs there, and they had a little landing there. And she went to the landing. She sat down with this lady, you know. This lady's a very refined lady, very dignified, very educated, you know, probably, you know, I don't know, three-figure salary. I'm not sure, but I mean, she wasn't hurting anyway. And she'd been involved in all kinds of different religions. She was trying this religion. She was trying that religion. And she has all kinds of different religions. And so my wife begins to give her testimony about how the Lord saved her. And my wife says, you know, I asked Jesus Christ when I was 21 years old, come to my heart and save my soul. And she said, you know what? Oh, what a joy. And you know what? As soon as that word came out of her mouth, joy, that lady said, that's what I want. That's what I want right there. Joy. see, that lady had happiness, but no joy. See, joy doesn't come from a three-figure salary. Joy doesn't come from a nice home or car or education or position. Joy only comes when you come to Jesus and you get saved from being lost. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away. Your night He'll turn to day. Your life He'll make it over again. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. You know why He brings such great joy? Because you're no longer without peace when you have Him. You have the solution to all your sins. You're no longer without strength. You get the strength of God to walk with God and live for God and do what's right. And no longer do you have to be a slave to your alcohol and your booze and your drugs. You get strength to say no to those sins that destroy your body, destroy your mind, destroy your marriage, destroy your life. Oh, listen, you are no longer without strength. You're no longer without life. You got eternal life, abundant life, spiritual life. You're no longer without the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living inside that witnesses you every day as you go down the road. He witnesses you. Hey, boy, some guy pulls into you and knocks you into a coffin. You know that you'd be in heaven for all eternity. You're no longer without the Holy Spirit. You're no longer without God as your Father. He's your Father, and no longer is the devil your father. You're not in the devil's family anymore. You're in God's family. You're a child of God. As many as received Him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God. You're no longer without understanding. The Bible all of a sudden makes sense to you, and you like to read it and enjoy reading it. And it's no longer a dreadful thing to go to church and hear the Bible. It's no longer a weary thing to read the Bible. You find that it brings delight to your life. I remember my mother, remember I told you? My mother, she threw the Bible on the floor. One day my mother got saved from being lost. And she fell in love with this Bible. She started reading it. I mean, she knew the Bible better, probably better than some preachers I know. You know, I preach all across the country. And my mother, when I'd come home, she said, "Gary, you sit down here. I want to show you something from the Bible a bit. You've been preaching to everybody else. It's time for someone else to preach to you." You know, that's my mother. That's only a woman preacher, kind of woman preacher I believe in. Amen? A mother preaches the Bible to her children. You know, my mother loved this Bible. She only made $800 a month from her Social Security check. But she would take that $800, some of it, I don't know where she did it, how she did it. But she'd take it. She'd sent Bibles, paid $25 a shot. And she sent a Bible to President Clinton. She sent Bibles to the Supreme Court judge. My mother loved this book. She knew the answer. What's the word of God in people's lives? My mother, oh, I'll tell you something. She no longer was without understanding. She no longer was without a remedy for being on the path to hell. Thank God she got off that path to hell. And she got on the path to heaven. Oh, folks, no wonder there's great joy when you get saved from being lost. And you know what? You're no longer without the wonderful promises of God that any moment Jesus is coming and going to take us home to heaven. You're no longer without the wonderful promise of God that God is preparing a place for you in heaven for all eternity. All the joy of getting saved from being lost. Have you been saved from being lost? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we've been saved from being lost. Oh Lord, what a tremendous thing it is. And Father, it's so simple. It is so simple. But it takes humility and courage to get saved from being lost. It takes humility to say, "I am lost, wicked, undone. Nothing good in me before a holy God." And it takes courage to say, "I'm coming to Christ. I don't care what my mom thinks, my dad, I don't care what people think. Say, I'm coming to Christ. I want to be saved from being lost." Lord, please help people to get saved from being lost tonight. Help us as Christians, Lord, to live like being saved from lost. Being lost is the most joyful thing in all the world. Oh, help us live that way. There are Christians here, they've lost the joy
of being saved from being lost. They come to church, look like death weren't warmed over. They don't even pick up a songbook and sing. They want to stay as far away from the pulpit as they can. Get out of the church as soon as they can. Lord, either they're not saved or there's sin in their life that's robbed them of the joy of being saved from being lost. There's disobedience in their life that's robbing them from the joy of being saved from being lost. Oh, Father, give us a revival of joy in the lives of your people. The joy of being saved from being lost. Speak to hearts of God's people. Oh, Lord, may they deal with those things that are stealing away their joy. Some sin, some worldly habit, worldliness, some friend they're holding on to that they don't want to let go of. God, please, help your people to get a revival of joy of being saved from being lost in their life. And then, dear Father, especially if there be those who've never been saved from being lost, Lord. Oh, I pray that today there are some people here that think they're saved, but they've never seen themselves lost. They got saved because mommy wanted them to, or daddy wanted them to, or their friend walked down an aisle so they thought they would. But they never got saved because they saw themselves as lost, wicked, hell-bound. Lord, help people get saved from being lost tonight. And Father, we give the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed now.